36, verse 1 says, "Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom." So we see Esau, his name has been changed now to Edom, and the children of Esau, or Edom, are the Edomites. Notice in verse 3, "And Bashemeth, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth." Esau took as his wife Bashemeth, who was Ishmael's daughter. Remember who Ishmael was? Ishmael was the son of an Egyptian woman who married an Israelite man, or when who was to become an Israelite, or his nation to become an Israelite. Therefore, she was the daughter of a mixed marriage. God's command in the Bible was for the Jews to only marry the Jews, or to marry their own people. Now, why was that? Remember what the Jew, or the children of Israel, is a type of in the Word of God. The Israelites are a type of the Christian. Now remember this, it's not a type of Christians, it is a type of the Christian. Many times we like to look at the children of Israel as maybe the church or as a group of Christians or something like that, but we're to apply it to ourselves individually. It is a type of the Christian. That's why it's so important as you study through the Bible to learn the principles that God has for us from the things that He taught the type of the Christian, the children of Israel. So from the children of Israel, we can learn how God deals with man, deals with Christians, how God plans to bless Christians, the problems that Christians can get into by watching the children of Israel. So we see then the children of Israel were not to marry anybody of the heathen lands or anybody outside of the children of Israel. That's the same thing for Christians today. The Christian is not to marry anybody outside of the family of God. We're to only be linked up with Christians. We're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now that's God's warning to the children of Israel. That's God's warning to us today as Christians. Young people that aren't married, if you're saved, you marry only a saved person. You make sure that you do not link up with unbelievers. That is not God's way. It'll never work. God does not bless that kind of marriage. God warns against that kind of marriage. And God says if you're saved, you marry only those that are saved. And so we find, first of all, that he married a woman from a mixed marriage. And not only that, but his marriage was a mixed marriage. He, therefore, took one that was not of the family and outside of the children of Israel. And he married also a mixed family. So notice those things right there, warnings against mixed marriages. Those that are saved are to marry only those that are saved. God warns about that. God teaches that in the Word of God. So the Edomites, therefore, were the descendants of Esau. Look in Genesis chapter 36 again. I guess we're there. Verse 8. Genesis chapter 36 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir." Now notice the land in which the Edomites dwelt in. They dwelt in the land of Mount Seir, or the land of Seir, or around the land surrounding Mount Seir. Look back at Genesis chapter 14. And verse 6. Genesis chapter 14, verse 6. "The Horites in their Mount Seir unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness." Now notice originally this group of people called the Horites dwelt in Mount Seir. Now look in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, "The Horims," or the Horites, "also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them, and dwelt to their stead as Israel did in the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them." This land of Mount Seir, the land surrounding Mount Seir, was a very rugged, mountainous terrain. The Edomites, which were descendants of Esau, or Edom, whose name was Red, moved down and took over this land from the Horites, or the Horims, took over this land surrounding Mount Seir. So we see Esau, who is Jacob's brother. By the way, Jacob's name later was changed to Israel. So we see that we have a battle now between Esau, whose name is Edom, and Jacob, whose name becomes Israel, or the father of the Israelites. His 12 sons became the fathers of each of the 12 tribes. And so the father of the Israelites. And so we see he moves down just south of Israel, the land of Israel, down into a place called Mount Seir, the land of Seir. And there's where the Edomites dwelt, south of Israel or Palestine. Look also in, back to Obadiah, and verse 2. Obadiah verse 2 says, "Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground?" The Edomites dwelt in this land called Seir, surrounding Mount Seir. Their major city was a city called Petra, P-E-T-R-A. This city was surrounded by mountains or rocks, and it was down inside of these rocks, or down inside of these mountains, and it was a formidable fortress, so to speak, down there. It was almost a place where nobody could get into, and nobody could get to them or attack them within that city of Petra, found there in the rocks. It was a safe place. It was a natural fortress, so to speak, fortress that God had made there in the rocks. And the people of Edom dwelt there in that chief city of Petra and said, who can ever defeat us? And their pride rose up because of that chief city, or which later became the capital city there of the land of Mount Seir of the Edomites. So I had this city, this fortress, this natural fortress called Petra. They said, we are safe here. I mean, there's nobody, there's no man, there's no army, there's no nation that can come against us here. And they are risen up in pride, the Bible says, because of that fortified city there, fortified by God himself when he built that portion of the of land, fortified by the rocks surrounding it. And their pride was risen up within them because of this natural fortress in which they lived. So we see then Edom came from who? Esau. Edom means what? Red. Edom means red because he traded his birthright for the what? Red soup, okay? For red soup. So we see Esau's name is changed to Edom, which means red because of the red soup he traded his birthright for. Esau's brother's name is what? Jacob, whose name becomes changed to Israel, who is the father of the Israelites, the nation of Israel. So Jacob is the father of the nation of who? Israel. Esau is the father of the nation of Edom, the Edomites, or Edom. And so we see these two nations who are actually brothers. They are kin. They're brothers. And we see that God is now judging this nation of Edom because of what they did to the nation of Israel. Let's notice some of these things. There are several things concerning Edom's treatment of Israel that would bring God's judgment. First of all, look in verse 11 of Obadiah. Obadiah verse 11. It says, "In that day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots among Jerusalem upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress." Notice there was a day when the enemies of Israel came down upon them, or the enemies of Judah came down upon them. Edom was a brother of Israel. And during this time when the enemies were coming down upon Israel and destroying Israel, what did Edom do during that time? Edom just sat back and watched. Edom did not come to the assistance of Israel. Matter of fact, they did more than that. They were just as one of their enemies. And more than that, they rejoiced in that their enemies came against them. I have written down here, when Judah was reduced to her low estate, Edom rejoiced in her calamity, should be her calamity, beheld her disaster with malicious satisfaction, and did not come to her rescue. So one of the things that Edom did, when Judah was in his low estate, when the enemies were coming down upon Judah, instead of Edom coming to the rescue, Edom became just like one of the enemies. More than that, she rejoiced that Israel was going through a trial. Rejoiced in the fact that Israel was going through some troubles. And then would not come to her rescue. when she was going through that time of trouble. So Edom, who was a brother of Israel, Edom will not even come to the rescue of Israel when Israel's in its lowest state. By the way, we ought to stand firm with our loved ones. We ought to help those that are in distress and help those that are in problems. Edom said, I'm not going to help you, and more than that, I'm going to rejoice. And by the way, Christians ought be not be like that. You see, somebody goes through a trial, and we ought not sit back and rejoice in the fact that somebody else is going through a hard time. We ought not rejoice in the fact that Israel has been given over to our enemies, and that Israel is going through her lowest state. Not rejoice in that fact, but be a help to them. Second thing, verse 13. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those that did escape, neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Here's what else happened. During this time that Israel was being given over to her enemies, we see Israel rejoiced in it. Israel did not come to the rescue. Israel became one of her enemies, but not only that, during her lowest state, Esau came in and took of the spoils. Esau came in and took what Esau could get from Jacob when Jacob was being destroyed by her enemies. Not only that, but when some of the Israelites tried to escape, Esau cut them off. Esau killed those that were trying to escape from their enemies, and Esau killed them also. So he saw the Edomites now go in and take the spoils from Israel, and then try to kill those that are escaping during that time. Edom aided the enemies in the plunder and murder of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Look thirdly at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20, notice verse 22. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. It was Mount Seir, that is the Edomites, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. By the way, Esau fought against Israel, which is a picture of God's people, or the Christians. Here they were brothers, and they were fighting against their own brother nation. By the way, Christians ought not fight with other Christians. Christians ought not fight Christians. So, well, they don't believe the way we believe. Well, it doesn't matter if they believe the way you believe. Maybe you've got more teaching than they've got. And maybe you know more of the Bible than they know. We're not to judge others. We're not to set ourselves up above others. By the way, there are other folks that are saved that may not believe everything that we believe. They may believe the doctrines of the Word of God. By the way, you can't be saved and deny the doctrines of the Word of God. You can't be saved and deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You can't be saved and deny the deity of Christ. You can't be saved and deny the resurrection of Jesus. You can't be saved and deny that Jesus is the Son of God. But there are some things you can be saved and believe that are wrong. And we ought not go around criticizing another group of Christians because they don't believe exactly how we believe. Now, when they're off on something like salvation, you ought to go ahead and point them out. They're off on something like salvation by works or lordship salvation. We ought to point out the fallacies. When they're for something, salvation by works instead of salvation by grace, you better point them out and say that's the wrong way and that's not the way to go. But if you got somebody that's trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and they're saved, we don't need to go around fighting against other Christians. That's not what we ought to do. Praise God if there's other Christians in this town. Praise the Lord if there's other good churches in this town. Praise the Lord if there's other saved folks in this town. And we ought to praise God if there's other folks preaching the Word of God around here. And praise God there's other churches around here that want to see folks saved. They may not go about it the same way. But if they're saved, we ought not be fighting against them. Truth of the matter is, what we ought to do is have love for the brethren. Now, I'm not saying you ought to go link up with everybody that doesn't believe the way we believe. But I don't need to go around tearing down what they're trying to do either. Now, if they're wrong, they're wrong. But we don't need to go around criticizing Christian brothers and criticizing other churches that believe in salvation by grace and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and believe in soul winning and believe those things. We don't need to go around criticizing the brothers. So they don't believe exactly like we believe. Maybe one day when they learn the Bible, maybe one day they will. Maybe one day we can be a help to them. We can't go around criticizing them just because they don't believe everything we believe. We've got to go by what we know the Bible says to do and believe the Word of God as God has written it for us, and we need to serve God. There are folks, may win hundreds of people to the Lord. They may not believe everything like I believe. They get right with God one day, they will, but they ain't never believe it right now. I can't go around criticizing them because of that. We just need to do the job we've got to do here without trying to cut down everybody else. Just get busy doing the work we've got to do. We get busy doing all we've got to do, haven't got time to criticize everybody else for what they're doing. Just love them and keep on going. If a church opens up across the street that's preaching the Word of God, praise the Lord. There's plenty of folks in this town that need getting saved. Churches pop up all over the place. Bless the Lord, if we don't do it, somebody better do it. So what we need to do is we need to rejoice in the fact that other folks are serving God. Rejoice in the fact other folks believe the Bible. Rejoice in the fact that other folks are saved. Not try to cut them down because they don't believe exactly like we believe. They will one day when they get right with God. We can't go cutting them down. And just keep doing the work we've got to do here in this place. Do the work that God has given us here at Grace Bible Baptist Church while trying to cut down everybody else doing the work. And here they came against their own brother, Israel, and tried to defeat them and plundered them and killed their own. And that ought not be done among Christians. Notice also, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22, they linked up with Ammon and Moab. The Edomites joined with the Moabites and the Ammonites. Notice I said we don't have to fight against them, but we don't need to link up with other groups either. If they're off on something, we don't need to link up with them. We got enough work to do here without linking up with somebody else and having their problems too. We need to do is just do the work we've got here and do the work of God that God has given us here, Grace Bible Baptist Church. Another thing they did is they linked up with the Ammonites and the Moabites, and there was an unholy alliance there, linking up with them. By the way, run with the right crowd. That's one reason we don't link up with other churches. It's one reason we stay separated here at this place. Because more you start hanging around with the crowd that doesn't believe the way you believe, and pretty soon you're going to believe in the way they believe. And it sounds good, folks. There's a lot of folks out there that sound pretty good. I mean, I kind of like some of that lovey-dovey preaching myself a little bit. And you run with the Neos, sounds good. Those Neos, they know the language. They know. I mean, they talk just like we talk. The only difference is they don't do what we do. That's the difference. They talk like it. And they sound good. And pretty soon you start listening to them, and pretty soon sounds pretty good. And say, man, not in our church, man, all the preacher does is just get up and yell and scream and jump up and down and hate sin. And it just sounds different. And we get to liking the way the Neos do it. You know one thing that'll help you with the Neo crowd? Just look into the past. Just look what those that have loved God and have gotten the job done in the past have done. Neo, that's a new, by the way, the word Neo means new. That gives you a good idea that it's not good. God was in the saving business 50 years ago, bless the Lord, he's still saving folks the same way today. God got the job done 50 years ago without the Neos. I think he can do it today without the Neos. If God got folks saved 50 years ago by the preaching of the Word of God, I think he can still do it today by the preaching of the Word of God. If God got folks saved 50 years ago by soul winning, God can still do it by soul winning today. Isn't it amazing how folks will grab onto this new stuff and think it sounds so good? Well, bless the Lord, there's nothing. What we need to do is just go by what way God has done it in the past. Isn't it funny that the Bible says different things today than it said 50 years ago? You can just go turn on your radio. You'll find things preached today that were never preached 50 years ago. Now, you didn't find a big psychology crowd in Christianity 50 years ago. That's all brand new. You didn't find all this kind of stuff 50 years ago in the preaching of the Word of God. You just found people getting right with God and doing serving God. That's you found back then. And by the way, that's the way it's going to get done today also. What ought to be done today. still the same old way that God has done it through the years and years and years. And now all of a sudden people are turning away from it and find new ways of serving God, new ways of soul winning, and new ways of preaching, and new ways of counseling, and new ways of doing everything in the world. I'm just going to stick with this same old way that's always been done, the Word of God. And if it was good enough 50 years ago, bless God, it's good enough today. If it was good enough 25 years ago, just check it out. Check out Christianity. Check out those that have stayed true. Check it out in the past and find out what was done. And then take a look at what's going on today. Give you a good indication of what ought to be done and how the Word of God hasn't changed. We sure got a lot of new interpretations of the Word of God, don't we? We need to do just stick with the same old interpretation that God gave 50 years ago. Just stick with it today. Same thing, same Bible, same Word of God, same God in heaven, same job to get done, getting folks saved. And let's just do it God's way. They linked up, non-holy alliance, ran with the wrong crowd. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 8. In his days the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. And also in verse 17 of that chapter. Then all the people went down to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images and the pieces and slew Madon, the priest of Baal, before the altar. And also Jehoiada appointed the officers of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests of the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offering to the Lord, as written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by God. And set the porters of the gates of the house of the Lord, that which was unclean in the thing they should enter in. And I must be in the wrong chapter. Verse 17. And they camped into verse 16. More of the Lord stirred up against Jehoram, the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. Look, you knew I was in the wrong chapter. Why didn't you say something? And the Arabians, that's the Edomites down there. Second thought, don't say anything. Just listen. I'll do the preaching around here. And if I want to read verse chapter 23, I'll read it. And the Arabians came against them. Not only that, they went into the palace and slew one of the king's sons, or slew the king's sons. So we see the Edomites plundered the king's palace in Jerusalem and slew his son. The Edomites were also on the watch to smite Judah and to carry away captives. We saw that back in Obadiah. Sixthly, when Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem, Edom gladly joined the invaders. Look at Psalms 137 and verse 7. It says, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Nebuchadnezzar came down upon Jerusalem and to begin to destroy the city, destroy the walls, destroy the temple. And Edom was outside there yelling, go get him, Nebuchadnezzar. Destroy him. Raise it, destroy the wall. And yelling out for Nebuchadnezzar, cheering on Nebuchadnezzar as besieged Jerusalem. Here's the outline of the book of Obadiah. In verses 1 through 16, we see God's vengeance on Esau. God's vengeance on Esau. But then the book ends in verses 17 through 21 with God's victory for Jacob. God's vengeance on Esau because of how they treated Israel. But then God's victory. God says, Israel, just stay true. Just stay true to me. Do what I've told you to do. One day, I'll bring you back to myself. God's victory for Jacob. The key idea of the book is to show God's judgment on Israel's enemies. Look in Genesis chapter 12. In the day in which we live, when there's so many controversial things going on in the land of Palestine, those that are for Israel and those that are against Israel and against what's going on over there, we see even in our own land, in the land of the United States, we see those that are against Israel and against what Israel is doing over there in the land of Palestine. Look in Genesis chapter 12. In verse 2, he's talking to Abraham, who is a father to be the father of the nation that would come one day, the nation of Israel. And I'll make of thee a great nation, that's talking about the Israelites, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Bless these people and make your name great among them. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God says, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going going to give you this land of Palestine to dwell within. And those that bless you, bless your people, I will bless. Those that curse you, and curse those your seed, I will curse. God has promised a blessing to those that bless Israel. By the way, I want to get in on that blessing there. Okay, you're going to find this preacher stand against the Israelites or the nation of Israel. By the way, if America's smart, America will side up and join up with Israel also and stay the friends of Israel and stay friends with the nation of Israel and not join with the enemies of Israel. God has promised a blessing to those that bless Israel. God has promised a cursing to those that curse Israel. God says, Edom, you've gone against my people. It wasn't because Edom was a fighter. It was who Edom was fighting. Edom was fighting against God's people. God says, Edom, when you're fighting against my people, you're fighting against me. Those that will bless my people, I will bless. Those that will curse my people, I will curse. Israel is a type of the Christian. You want to get in a fight with God? You fight against his people. You got yourself in a fight with God. By the way, you can't win that battle. You can fight. You can go ahead and curse those that are trying to serve God and those that are God's people. You can go ahead and fight against them if you want to. You can go ahead and criticize them. You can go ahead and curse them. God says, Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of those that are mine, you've done it unto me. You want a blessing? You learn to get along with God's people. You get along with those that are his. God will bless you. That's the application for today. But the principle for all time is God says, you oppose Israel, and you oppose me. You bless Israel, and I'll bless you. You curse Israel, I'll curse you. And the theme of the book is opposition to Israel brings opposition from God. Opposition to Israel brings opposition from God. You fight against God's people, and you're fighting against God. What we need to do is learn from this book, we need to get along with God's people. We ought not be fighting. We ought not be rejoicing when God's people fall. We ought not be rejoicing when God's people run into trouble or trials or tribulation. When the enemies of God come against his people. We ought not be shouting and rejoicing over it. Ought to be a help. Ought not criticize God's people. Get along with God's people. Love them. Do the work that God has given us to do. God says, you oppose Israel, and you're going to oppose me. By the same token, you oppose God's people, God's children, you oppose God. And let's pray. Lord, I pray once again that you'll bless now this Bible study today. Help us to learn from your word how to get along with your people. And bless us, we pray in Jesus' name.